Good afternoon, everyone. It's February 4th, 2026, and you're listening to Sigma Speaks. Today in the news, we discuss medieval miracles. Dragon-slaying saints once healed the land, the genetic turning point that made backbones possible, and scientists are hunting for a forbidden antimatter transformation. So buckle up. Listen to commentary on the latest news in tech and science while on the go. For your personalized updates, download the Sigma Speaks app.
New research reveals that medieval Augustinian saints played a significant role in agricultural miracles, healing land and livestock, a fact that could reshape our understanding of the church's influence on rural life during the early Renaissance. Exciting progress noted by latest science news, Science Daily. Dr. Christina Ilko's research unearths a trove of medieval sources that highlight the practical, land-focused miracles attributed to these saints, challenging the prevailing view that the Catholic Church's power was largely urban-centric. The methodology employed by Dr. Ilko involves a detailed analysis of historical texts that have been largely overlooked, specifically those that document miracles related to agriculture and animal husbandry. For example, one miracle recounts a burned cherry twig miraculously sprouting new life, while another describes the restoration of a swamp to peak fertility. These accounts, often dismissed in favor of more dramatic tales of religious phenomena, illustrate a different kind of miracle, one that had tangible benefits for rural communities struggling to survive during difficult agricultural periods. While the specifics of these miracles might sound like something out of a fairy tale, cabbages multiplying like rabbits and oxen walking on healed legs, it's crucial to understand the context. In medieval Europe, the agricultural landscape was fraught with challenges, from crop diseases to livestock afflictions, often attributed to mythical dragons that were thought to poison the air. The belief in these miraculous interventions was not merely a matter of faith. It was a survival strategy for communities reliant on the land. However, it's important to note that these accounts, while uplifting, are based on historical narratives that may lack rigorous empirical validation. In other words, we might not be able to scientifically verify if a cherry twig can spontaneously regenerate, but the community's belief in such miracles had profound effects on social cohesion and resilience. What does this mean for today's world? Well, if we can accept that the past has lessons to teach us, there is a wealth of knowledge in these stories about sustainable agriculture and community resilience. For instance, the idea of restoring land to fertility could inspire modern sustainable farming practices that draw on historical ecological wisdom. Practices such as regenerative agriculture, which focus on restoring soil health and biodiversity, echo the principles underlying these medieval miracles. Moreover, understanding the role of religious and cultural narratives in shaping agricultural practices can help modern societies address food insecurity and environmental degradation. Imagine if we could blend the historical insights of figures like Guglielmo of Malavalle, who reportedly tamed. Researchers at the University of St. Andrews have identified a crucial evolutionary shift in gene expression that likely facilitated the transition from invertebrate to vertebrate life, shedding light on the origins of backbones in diverse animal lineages. In positive news, latest science news, Science Daily, reports that this groundbreaking research provides insights into the genetic underpinnings that enabled vertebrates, including mammals, fish, reptiles, and amphibians, to emerge and thrive. To unravel this evolutionary mystery, the researchers employed long molecule DNA sequencing, a technique that allows for the comprehensive analysis of genetic transcripts produced by single genes. This innovative approach is akin to a detailed autopsy of gene expression, revealing not just the presence of genes, but the full spectrum of their functional outputs during critical development stages. By comparing genetic data from three distinct organisms, sea squirts, lampreys, and frogs, they traced the evolutionary lineage of signaling proteins that guide cellular communication during development. This comparative analysis was pivotal, as sea squirts represent a non-vertebrate outgroup, while lampreys and frogs are positioned at early and more advanced stages of vertebrate evolution, respectively. The study unveiled that genes responsible for producing signaling output proteins evolved in an unusual manner during the transition from invertebrates to vertebrates. Notably, both lampreys and frogs exhibited a significant increase in the diversity of protein variants produced from individual signaling genes, a shift that was starkly more pronounced than what was observed in the sea squirts. For example, the increased variability in signaling proteins suggests an enhanced capacity for cellular communication, which is crucial during complex processes such as embryo formation and organ development. This intricate dance of signaling pathways is essential for normal growth, and when it goes awry, it can lead to diseases that are frequently targeted by drug development. However, it's important to maintain a healthy skepticism about how this research translates into immediate benefits. While the findings provide a fascinating glimpse into the genetic history of vertebrates, the direct implications for human health or technology may not be immediately apparent. The study's limitations include the fact that it focuses on a narrow selection of species and does not yet address how these genetic changes translate into functional differences in physiology and behavior. Moreover, while the technique of long molecule DNA sequencing is promising, it requires sophisticated technology and expertise, which may not be readily available in all research settings. Nevertheless, the potential applications of this research are exciting. A deeper understanding of vertebrate evolution can inform conservation efforts for endangered species.
An international team of physicists has launched the MACE experiment to investigate the rare transformation of muonium into its antimatter counterpart, antimuonium, which would challenge the principle of lepton flavor conservation within the standard model of particle physics. Optimistic update from latest science news, Science Daily. The MACE project, spearheaded by researchers at Sun Yat-sen University, in collaboration with the Institute of Modern Physics of the Chinese Academy of Sciences, aims to detect this elusive transformation, a feat that could unlock new realms of physics beyond our current understanding. So, how does this all work? At the heart of MACE is muonium, a fleeting exotic atom composed of a positive muon, essentially a heavier cousin of the electron, and a bound electron. The researchers are hunting for the spontaneous conversion of muonium into antimuonium, a process that, if observed, would violate lepton flavor conservation, one of the fundamental tenets of the standard model. This flavor conservation rule insists that leptons, like electrons and muons, retain their identities and interactions, much like a magician who never reveals their tricks. But what if that magician decided to pull a rabbit out of a hat instead? MACE is poised to catch that rabbit if it exists. To amp up their chances, the team has set a lofty goal: to improve the sensitivity of detection by over 100-fold compared to the last major experiment in 1999, which was conducted at the Paul Scherrer Institute in Switzerland. This ambitious leap means they aim to detect muonium-antimuonium conversion probabilities as small as 0 of 10 to the negative 13, essentially a needle in a haystack of particles. Achieving this requires a trifecta of technological advancements: a powerful surface muon beam, a novel silica aerogel target for efficient muonium production, and high-resolution detectors capable of sifting through significant background noise. In essence, they're building an experimental apparatus that's part particle collider, part precision watchmaker. While the prospects are thrilling, it's important to keep our excitement in check. The experiment operates under the shadow of significant challenges, including the inherent instability of muonium and the need to isolate the rare signal amidst a cacophony of competing particle interactions. Moreover, even if MACE succeeds, it may only provide indirect evidence of new physics rather than a definitive breakthrough. After all, proving that unicorns exist is a lot harder than just spotting a hoofprint.
Positron, a semiconductor startup based in Reno, has successfully raised $230 million in Series B funding, aiming to challenge NVIDIA's dominance in AI chip technology. Optimistic update from TechCrunch. This substantial investment will help Positron accelerate the deployment of its high-speed memory chips, which are critical for powering AI workloads. At the heart of Positron's ambition lies its first-generation chip, aptly named Atlas. Manufactured in Arizona, Atlas promises to match the performance of NVIDIA's H100 GPUs while consuming less than a third of the power. An impressive feat that highlights the potential for energy-efficient computing in an era where power consumption is a growing concern. The technical approach employed by Positron focuses on inference, the computation necessary for running AI models in real-world applications, rather than the training phase that requires massive resources. This strategic choice positions Positron well as companies increasingly pivot from building extensive models to deploying them on a larger scale. The successful funding round brings Positron's total capital raised to over $300 million, a significant milestone for a company that's only 3 years old. Co-led by Arena Private Wealth, Jump Trading, and Unless, the funding also saw strategic investment from the Qatar Investment Authority, QIA, reinforcing Qatar's burgeoning commitment to AI infrastructure. This sovereign wealth fund's interest signals a broader strategy to enhance compute capacity, which is viewed as essential for maintaining global economic competitiveness. In a world where AI infrastructure is becoming the new oil, Positron is positioning itself as a potentially valuable player in the Middle Eastern tech arena. But let's not get too carried away with excitement. There are limitations to consider. While the Atlas chip shows promise, it's still in its first generation. And the next iteration, the Asimov silicon chip, is not slated for production until early 2027. That's a long wait in the fast-paced tech landscape, where today's innovation can quickly become obsolete tomorrow. Additionally, while Positron aims to achieve performance parity with NVIDIA's offerings, the reality of competing with an established giant in the semiconductor industry means that factors such as ecosystem compatibility, software support, and market penetration will play crucial roles in determining success. Despite these caveats, the potential applications of Positron's technology are numerous and significant. For instance, efficient inference chips can revolutionize sectors such as healthcare, where AI algorithms are increasingly used for diagnostics and patient monitoring. A more energy-efficient chip means lower operational costs for hospitals and clinics.
Here's something inspiring from TechCrunch. Gradient has developed a novel heat pump system that enables multifamily buildings to achieve better temperature control while retrofitting outdated HVAC systems, thus addressing the comfort issues of older structures. At its core, Gradient's innovation revolves around its newly introduced Nexus software, which allows interconnected control of its horseshoe-shaped heat pumps installed in individual units. These heat pumps function similarly to window air conditioners, but with the added versatility of providing both heating and cooling. By linking these units together, Nexus enables building managers to set parameters that can restrict excessive energy use, effectively putting the brakes on residents who might crank up the AC or heat past reasonable limits. This is particularly valuable in older buildings where the electrical infrastructure may not support the load requirements of modern HVAC systems, a problem that many New York City buildings face. The mechanics of the Nexus system are quite clever. Rather than trying to replace the entire existing HVAC infrastructure, which can be costly and time-consuming, Gradient's approach allows for a retrofit using window units. These units can be installed in a matter of hours without the need for significant electrical upgrades. For instance, Gradient systems can operate on lower amperages, addressing the constraints of aging electrical wiring that may struggle with a full 12-amp load on a single outlet. This flexibility opens the door for retrofitting older buildings that typically have only one electric meter, allowing for more efficient energy consumption and management. To give you a sense of the impact, Gradient's heat pumps have been piloted in various settings, including public housing managed by the New York City Housing Authority, and a newer affordable housing complex in Tracy, California. In one notable example, a building manager set the heating limit to a cozy 78 degrees Fahrenheit, leading to a remarkable 25% reduction in energy consumption the very next day. This not only helps lower bills, but also contributes to broader sustainability goals by reducing the carbon footprint associated with heating and cooling. However, it's worth acknowledging that while this system is a step forward, it is not without limitations. The technology is primarily designed for multifamily residential buildings and may not be suitable for all types of structures, particularly those with more complex HVAC needs or older designs that cannot accommodate even window units. Additionally, the reliance on software to manage energy consumption raises questions about cybersecurity. After all, we wouldn't want someone's thermostat to become the next target for hackers looking to wreak havoc on a cozy evening. Despite these caveats, the potential applications of Gradient's heat. YC has announced that startups accepted into its program can now receive seed investments via stablecoins, a move aimed at enhancing financial accessibility and efficiency in emerging markets. Optimistic update from TechCrunch. This shift allows Y Combinator to invest in its typical $500,000 deal for 7% equity through stablecoins on blockchain platforms like Base, Solana, and Ethereum. This is particularly significant for founders in regions where traditional banking systems are less reliable or accessible. By utilizing stablecoins, which are pegged to stable assets like the US dollar, YC is not only embracing the future of finance, but also actively engaging with the evolving regulatory landscape around cryptocurrency in the US. How does this work, you ask? The process is straightforward, albeit with a sprinkle of tech wizardry. Stablecoins maintain their value by being tied to a reserve asset, mitigating the notorious volatility associated with cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. For example, when YC sends a $500,000 investment in USDC, a popular stablecoin, the recipient can exchange it for fiat currency almost instantly without the need for intermediaries. This is a boon for startups operating in countries where the local currency might be experiencing hyperinflation or where foreign currency exchange is fraught with bureaucratic red tape. However, let's not get too carried away on the blockchain bandwagon without acknowledging some caveats. While stablecoins theoretically provide a smoother ride than their volatile counterparts, they are still subject to regulatory scrutiny and potential market fluctuations. For instance, issues related to the reserves backing these stablecoins can arise, leading to questions about their stability in extreme economic conditions. Additionally, the adoption of this payment method is contingent on the startup's ability to navigate the complexities of cryptocurrency wallets and exchanges. Definitely not a task for the faint of heart or the tech phobic. Yet, despite these hurdles, the potential applications for this innovation are compelling. Startups in emerging markets often face significant barriers to accessing capital, with many entrepreneurs relying on informal networks to secure funding. By enabling investments in stablecoins, YC could empower these founders to quickly convert their funding into local currencies, thus enabling them to act fast and make critical business decisions without the delays typical of traditional banking systems. Imagine a fintech startup in Nigeria that can secure funding in minutes rather than weeks, dramatically speeding up its time to market. Moreover, this initiative aligns with the broader trend of increasing financial inclusivity. By leveraging blockchain technology, YC is paving the way for a more decentralized approach.
11 Labs, a voice AI company, has successfully raised $500 million in a funding round led by Sequoia Capital, bringing its valuation to an impressive $11 billion. TechCrunch recently shared that the startup has more than tripled its valuation since January 2025, a remarkable feat that might just make your stock portfolio look a bit envious. So, what's behind this meteoric rise? 11 Labs specializes in advanced voice synthesis technology, utilizing a method known as Neural Text-to-Speech, TTS. This approach involves training deep learning models on vast datasets of human speech to produce highly realistic and expressive synthetic voice outputs. The underlying architecture often employs techniques like WaveNet or Tachotron, which generate audio waveforms directly from phonetic transcriptions, allowing for nuanced intonation and cadence. The result? A voice that can sound almost indistinguishable from a human's, minus the occasional awkward pause that feels a bit too much like your aunt's Thanksgiving dinner storytelling. To provide some numbers to ground this discussion, 11 Labs reported an annual recurring revenue, ARR, of $330 million, marking a rapid growth phase as it transitioned from $200 million to $300 million in just 5 months. This growth is not merely a product of hype. It reflects genuine interest in voice AI applications across various sectors. The funding will bolster research and product development, particularly as 11 Labs aims to extend its technology beyond voice alone to include video and interactive agents. Yes, the dream of having a digital assistant that can not only respond audibly, but also flash a cheeky smile on screen is inching closer to reality. However, let's not get too carried away by the hype. While the technology shows immense promise, there are limitations to consider. For example, the sophistication of synthetic voices can still fall short in emotional depth and spontaneity compared to human interaction. Moreover, as with any AI, there are ethical considerations, such as potential misuse in creating deepfakes, that need to be addressed. After all, we can't have a world where your voice clone is busy negotiating your next car purchase while you're off binging the latest sci-fi series. Despite these caveats, the potential applications of 11 Labs technology are genuinely exciting. In education, for instance, the ability to create engaging audio content tailored to students' needs could revolutionize learning. Imagine personalized reading companions for struggling young readers, where the voice is not only clear, but also encouraging.
Apple's second-generation AirTag has improved its tracking capabilities with a new ultra-wideband UWB chip, enhancing its precise finding range by up to 50%. Exciting progress noted by Engadget is a web magazine with obsessive daily coverage of everything new in gadgets and consumer electronics. This latest iteration of the AirTag not only retains its familiar aesthetic, but also comes packed with technical upgrades that make it more effective than ever before. At first glance, the new AirTag looks almost identical to its predecessor. After all, Apple is quite the minimalist, save for the minor scratches accumulated on older models from years of keyring adventures. But don't let its understated appearance fool you. Beneath the surface, a new set of features promises to make the hunt for lost items significantly easier. The magic behind the new AirTag lies in its upgraded ultra-wideband technology, specifically utilizing the second-generation UWB chip. This chip works by emitting precise radio waves that allow for more accurate distance and directional measurements, thus extending the tracking range up to 50%. This enhancement, however, is contingent upon having an iPhone 15 or newer, so if you're still clutching your iPhone 12 like a lifebuoy, you might be out of luck. The new AirTag also boasts a louder chime, 50% louder to be exact, making it easier to locate those pesky items that may have gone into hiding, like your keys after a whirlwind of errands. In terms of technical specifications, the AirTag retains its compact size, resembling a thick coin just slightly larger than a quarter. It sports a stainless steel plate with an 85% recycled plastic enclosure, while the battery remains user-replaceable, a feature that's always a plus, Apple still hasn't given in to the consumer outcry for a convenient keyring hole. Instead, you'll still need to shell out extra bucks for accessories to attach it to your belongings. Sure, Apple may have an eye for design, but charging $35 for a keyring that cradles a $29 tracker is a tough sell, even for the most devoted of fans. However, as with all tech, there are limitations. Tracking performance can fluctuate based on environmental factors such as walls, building structures, and the proximity of other devices in the Apple Find My network. Therefore, while the 50% increase in precision finding range sounds impressive, it is prudent to remember that it may not always perform as advertised in every scenario.
NASA's SpaceX Crew 12 mission has entered the crucial pre-launch quarantine phase, a standard 2-week isolation designed to safeguard the health of the crew as they prepare for their upcoming journey to the International Space Station, the ISS. Exciting progress noted by latest science news Science Daily. As of January 28, 4 astronauts, Jessica Meir and Jack Hathaway from NASA, Sophie Adenow from the European Space Agency, and Andrei Fedayev from Roscosmos, have begun this precautionary measure at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. This quarantine isn't just a trendy health fad.
It's a practice steeped in over 6 decades of spaceflight history, originating during the Apollo missions to mitigate the risk of illness affecting the crew mid-flight. The methodology behind this pre-launch quarantine, often referred to as health safety protocol, is straightforward yet critical. The astronauts will have minimal contact with anyone outside their tightly controlled environment, with most communications occurring remotely. This practice limits exposure to potential pathogens, ensuring that the crew arrives at launch prepared for the rigors of space travel, and not a cold, courtesy of a family member's sneeze. Notably, stringent medical screenings must be passed by family and essential personnel before any in-person contact is allowed. The Crew 12 mission is set to launch no earlier than 6 a.m. EST on February 11, with alternate windows available on February 12 and 13, contingent on favorable conditions and crew readiness. They will be propelled into orbit aboard a SpaceX Dragon spacecraft launched by a Falcon 9 rocket, an impressive feat of engineering, considering the rocket's first successful launch was back in 2010. The mission will last approximately 9 months, during which the crew will join Expedition 74 and 75 aboard the ISS. This will be a significant milestone for both the crew and NASA. It marks the first spaceflight for Mir and Hathaway, while Fedayev will make history as the first cosmonaut to fly twice on a Dragon spacecraft. While the quarantine serves as an effective measure to enhance crew safety, it isn't without its limitations. The psychological strain of isolation can be significant, even for seasoned astronauts. The 2-week quarantine can be a double-edged sword. Yes, it minimizes the risk of illness, but it also means astronauts must cope with the mental challenges of confinement before they even embark on a mission that will see them confined in a space station for months. Just think of it.
That's all for now. Thanks for listening, and have a great afternoon.